Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello all Happiness is Egg Shape listeners and watchers. This is the Happiness Is podcast with me, your host, Bruce Aitchison, brought to you in association with Infinity Blue. They can look after you whether it is a checkup, teeth whitening, or a more complicated procedure. Give them a call, get in touch, and they will look after you to make sure that you keep that smile intact. Because after all, they know, we know, I know, you know, happiness is egg-shaped. Hello and welcome to the Happiness Is podcast with me, your host, Bruce Aitchison, and I am back, and it is another high roller, proper superstar, one of the most humble that we are ever going to feature on this, and I'm absolutely delighted that she's found some time. She's back home in God's country, but back in her, probably her teenage bedroom, so who knows, there's probably lots of stories to tell, but now she's carving it up on the international scene, on the world stage, and the future is still very, very bright. She's crammed a lot into a very short space of time, and who knows what the future is going to bring. But I'm excited to hear all about it. The one and the only, if you're going to pick a role model, this is the one for you, Lisa Thompson. Hello, Lisa Thompson.
Hello, Bruce. Thank you very much.
I like that you've got Tomo. On your graphic.
Well, yeah, he asked me what my name was, and I was like, I can't just put Lisa. Do I put my full Lisa Thompson? I'll just put Tomo. It's fine.
See, this is my show, and I've still got Bruce Aitchison in case people forget who I am.
Sorry, should have went Lisa Thompson.
No, I like it. I like Tomo. Tomo's one of our favourites. You're back in Hoyk. What's it like being back in God's country?
Oh, it's good. It is nice to be back home. This is not my childhood bedroom. Mum and Dad moved since then. So nothing fun has happened here.
Right, we're going to skirt over that very quickly. So you've been traveling, you've been all over. Highlights very recently?
Highlights very recently. Definitely qualifying for the Olympics. It was, a bit of relief after a tough season. Getting qualified, thinking, right, we can just focus on ourselves next season, not having to worry about qualifying a couple of weeks before. So, no, it was a good, fun couple of weeks out in Krakow. We were out there for a wee bit because we got put into like a village and stuff. So, another multi-sport event, which was class fun. Definitely a recent highlight.
It's funny how that happened, but there wasn't a huge amount of coverage of the whole thing. But it looked from social media, again, seeing what happens on your Instagram stories and all that kind of jazz, it looked really cool. And I think, did Abby Brown get to carry the flag?
Yeah, Abby was flag bearer alongside, I don't want to get this wrong, canoe slalom guy, Joe Clark. I think it's canoe slalom. Is that, I think that's right. Oh, no, Bruce, that's not good. Joe Clark and Abby Brown were flag bearers. Anyway, so no, that was real cool to, I guess, see her do that, and a real huge honour for her to do it as well.
And not just for her, but for the sport.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Like, I think first female, first rugby sevens flag bearer, I think. Don't quote me on that, but I think it is. And for it to be, like, a female in Abby Brown as well, who absolutely epitomises rugby sevens, like, yeah, no, it's huge for the sport as well.
She's properly class.
Oh, aye. Absolutely loves the game rugby sevens, like, lives and breathes it. So, no, real cool.
So how much do you talk about qualification, or is it just process, got to perform, do as well as we can, or was qualification something that was discussed?
No, it was definitely discussed. I think even like earlier in the season, it was more like process. We're a new team. Like, let's figure all this out. And then I guess when it came to Toulouse, we were like, oh, we could actually do this. In Toulouse, like when we were getting a wee bit closer with Ireland and Fiji, we started talking about qualification. And then we're like, right, not happened. Krakow is absolutely about qualification. Like, there was no like beating around the bush about that. That was absolutely what we were going to do. So it was a bit odd. And I think like having Kieran in coaching was good as well. And he, I guess, put that wee bit more pressure on with, I guess, conversations we'd had before going out to Krakow, just around like, okay, we get to a quarterfinal, if we lose, we're not going to Olympics. Like, we were having those sort of conversations. So no, definitely spoke about, and definitely was the aim of that tournament for sure.
And obviously you celebrated and you look like you enjoyed it, but the men's team didn't qualify.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a tough one? How do you manage that situation?
Yeah, it was hard. Obviously, because we'd played first, we were on such a high, and then sat in the stands and watched the boys play, and it was, yeah, kind of like a close game as well to start off with. So, no, real hard. Sort of like mixed emotions, like gutted for them, but obviously so pleased that we had qualified. No, it was a hard one, mixed emotions, and like, there's nothing, being in that situation on the other side, there's nothing anyone can say to you that makes it any better. So I think they've got a repechage in, yeah, 2-3 weeks before Paris next year for qualification. So no, it'll be a tough one, but I'm sure they'll get over the line and be at Paris as well.
Nice. So sevens, pretty tough shift, because mm-hmm. a lot of it, you know, you're apart for a lot. There's only three Scots in the squad, so you having to find a lot of motivation between the three of you.
Yeah, I think like that's the hardest thing I've found the past year is, yeah, the solo training, like when you're on a down week or whatever. And obviously Rona flits between here and France, so there's one less person training in Edinburgh. But no, it is like training with those two is class, and literally just chasing them up and down a pitch every single time we're doing training. But it's been good for me. We always joke about, like, we're like, right, we just need to get through this session, just get it done. Shona is gone, Rona's gone, and I'm like, right, here we go. Session started. But no, it is, it's absolutely class. Like, we push each other in like different things. Like, I think we've all got different strengths, so it's quite a good mix of the three of us as well, which is helpful.
And then when you get back into camp, is that the good stuff? Do you love that aspect of it?
I like absolutely love being in camp and doing the rugby side of it. Don't enjoy the running up and down a pitch by yourself part, but no, love being in camp, and when we're all together, it's good fun. And even in the downtime, like everyone's like, it's a great bunch of folks. So no, we just sit and play card games and stuff. So it is fun.
It's funny because that Scotland squad that you've been part of for what feels like a long time, you've become, you were best mates with some of them before you were in the Scotland squad. You then get in the Scotland squad, you've built really strong relationships, you know each other inside out, you see each other socially, and then you go to GB,
mm-hmm.
having only ever played against them or heard about them, or How quickly do you gel as a group in that kind of environment?
Yeah, I think like being, I guess we were together a wee bit in before Tokyo as well, so knew a few of them, but I don't know, we're all just similar kind of people, and like we've all got the common goal of, well, I guess qualifying for the Olympics and want to get selected for the Olympics, and yeah, we're all like striving towards the same thing. So no, it was, yeah, it was easy enough to get gelled together, and yeah, I think like definitely made friends for life off the pitch as well with that lot. So no, it's a good group of folk as well.
How much do you purposefully do to become a team, and how much of it is just we're in this space, who's got a song to sing, what card game are we playing? How much is it forced on you? Right, everyone, let's share something about ourselves. Are you allowed to just get on with it yourself?
To be fair, I think this season there wasn't that much sort of forced, that's what you want to call it, like just didn't have time to, I guess, set those foundations. And I think that's definitely something that we're looking to do prior to this season, kind of set a wee bit more, not quite culture, but like standards and stuff like that. But I guess like our why as a squad, like we didn't really have much time to discuss that before jumping into Dubai, and like we had people coming back from World Cups and then folk coming in and out, and yeah, it was pretty stop start to the season. But no, I think we'd definitely like to do a wee bit more of it, but yeah, we've got good folk, so yeah, it is a lot of Rona singing songs, or Rona with card games, Jazz with card games. Jazz and Kaylee Powell are mad with the card games. So no, it is like, it is pretty easy as well. It's not, we don't need to force too much.
And there's a lot of coffee.
A lot of coffee. Wherever we go, we're looking for the nicest coffee shop. It needs to be aesthetically pleasing and have the right size of flat white.
The right size? What's the right size of flat white?
6 ounces, isn't it?
I've no idea. That's why I'm asking.
I think. Well, okay. I hope I'm right now.
You do drink a lot of coffee, so I'm pretty confident you know.
I know, I hope so.
you and Emma Wassel, no stranger to a coffee shop or ladies who lunch.
No, it's like life's good. It is. It's good fun. Like train with your pals, get a coffee with your pals. Like it's fun, and yeah, we just, it's a hobby. We like looking for nice places to have coffee or have lunch.
And when you're having coffee and having lunch, are you able to leave rugby at rugby, or does that come into the conversations?
I think it definitely comes into the conversations, but no, we do try and not like speak about it as much. And like pals off the pitch, we are like, we have got things in common as well away from rugby, so mainly coffee and luncheon, but we do have other things to talk about as well.
I'm pretty confident you do. So it's, you've worked hard for a long time to get to this point that you're at just now. Scotland International, GB Sevens, but it feels to me like you're now sort of getting the fruits of your labour. So this year has been an incredible year for you to be recognised and to start to maybe get the status that you deserve. I got to share in a pretty monumental moment at Melrose, where the Game of Sevens started and they have a Hall of Fame, and you were the first female inductee to the Melrose Sevens Hall of Fame. Now, I got choked up at that. I absolutely loved that. But that must be a moment that you give yourself a pat on the back and go, yeah, I'm doing all right here.
Yeah, I think it was a wee bit like that evening at the dinner and stuff was definitely, I guess, just being in the room with like a lot of legends of the game and stuff. Like, I think it definitely was a moment to think, oh, I am actually doing something here, I guess. But it is hard when you're like constantly in season and constantly just thinking what's the next thing, what's the next thing. So no, that night was nice, and yeah, I think it was a wee bit of a moment to think, yeah, we're doing something here. And it is pretty cool of like what my life's turned out to be. Like, I always wanted to play rugby, and that was the only thing I ever wanted to do. When folk asked me what my job, like what I wanted to do when I grew up, I was like, I want to be a rugby player. So no, it is pretty cool to reflect and think I'm getting to live that out. But yeah, we keep trying to find wee moments to think about it, but it's hard when you're like, next thing, next thing, next thing.
You spoke about GB trying to find their why. I know that's something that Scotland has spoken about, and I've heard you speak before, and you know, I've been able to ask you questions like this. Part of it has been the legacy that you hope to leave, that you hope younger players are looking at and going, right, here's something that's possible. Is that something that you discuss as a GB squad?
I think, yeah, we've had, like, not as a whole squad, I think, but definitely in smaller groups, that's the conversations we've had. And I think probably didn't appreciate how, I think it's a lot harder in the game of sevens to do that, because it's like with the 15s, there is now clubs for girls to play at, which is super cool. So it's moving in the right direction, but that's obviously just not there with sevens. There is like sevens academies and stuff like that that people can get involved in, but it's not as accessible. Like, you need to pay to go to those academies or whatever it is. So I think, yeah, we've definitely spoke a lot about inspiring the next generation and whatever that is. To be honest, if it's just getting girls into rugby and playing sport, then that's like a tick for us. So no, we definitely have had the conversations, and traveling the world kind of helps with putting your face across there and telling people about sevens and rugby. So no, it is. I think it's like all sort of folk our age, is our age, not our age, Bruce, not me and you, my age.
Aye, all right.
Like, we all kind of grew up in the same thing. Like, there wasn't much for us growing up and stuff. So I think that's the biggest thing that we speak about.
So somebody's running around pretending to be Lisa Thompson. You're coming off what was the damn health in the tunnel back to Murrayfield to the changing rooms, and there's four or five people deep wanting your autograph, wanting a selfie. Do you think about that? Or is it just part of the job now?
Yeah, I think we do think of it, and I think we actually love that bit of it. Like, we've spoke about it before, like that wee tunnel coming out like from the pitch to Murrayfield is mad. Like, you could be there for half an hour, like speaking to kids, signing their arms and signing their boots or whatever it might be. But no, I think don't want it to almost become part of the job. Like, I enjoy doing that side of it and speaking to the kids and stuff, and even the parents and whoever it is. I gave away a pair of my True socks after one of the games. They were sweaty and they were soaking wet, but somebody wanted something from me, so like that was what I had, and they could have my sweaty True socks. But no, it's cool. And I was down at Hoyk on Monday night. Emily Beattie's got Hoyt girls going at the minute, alongside Graham Hawks. So went down there Monday night, and yeah, I think the girls really enjoyed like just me being around and stuff, and signed little kid's arm again. Parents probably going to come and shout at me for signing her arm in Sharpie, but no, I think I just love being around the girls playing rugby, and especially at that age, like that's primary school, having 12, 15 girls down playing is so cool.
And completely different from what you grew up with.
Completely different. Like, yeah, I was playing with the boys, like joined the Robbie Dyes when I was like 5 down at Mansfield Park. And then we went down to Jed Minis because we didn't have anything in Hoyk. So, nah, completely different. And yeah, so cool to see. And hopefully, like, it encourages more girls to get along when it's like an only girls session. But there's definitely benefits to like both, like playing alongside the boys as well. And getting an only girls stuff in. So now, long may it continue.
How important is it to tell those stories of where you've come from and the others that are in your squad? Because a lot of them have got similar stories. They had to play with the boys. They didn't play until uni. They didn't take it seriously. They didn't know there was a Scotland women's team. Those are all really common stories in the squad that you're in just now. How important is it to tell those stories to the people who want your signature and want your smelly socks?
Yeah, I think it is important. Equally, it's like, I don't want to sound like a old person being like, look what you've got now. But no, I think it is important to recognise where the game's come from and where the game's going. So hopefully, like, it can just stay, like, we can continue to have all these clubs for young girls and just get even more girls playing. And yeah, I think it is definitely important to spread the word, but we can let them enjoy their rugby clubs and their girls-only sessions and stuff.
So you've played in front of pretty big crowds now, wearing a Scotland jersey. Is there a game you think back to and think, oh, wow, the distance we've travelled?
I think probably either that Italy game this year or the England game last year at the Hive.
Well played, Scottish Rugby good, Media. I will be so proud of you for that one.
That was good, wasn't it?
That was good.
I remember that England game. It was packed out. The is it Lothian stand, other side?
Yeah.
And it was sunny day playing against England.
Blue sky, like, sunshine. It was beautiful. And everybody was there.
Mm-hmm. It was packed out. So I remember that game. And then I think back to playing at Broadwood on a Friday night when it was chucking it down, maybe a couple hundred folk in the stand, mostly friends and family. I just think even stop playing on a Friday night is huge. Playing a Saturday, like afternoon or whenever it is, in daylight. That is most of my memories from when I played like at Broadwood is Friday night. Everything, the 20s were after you or something. It has moved forward so much. But yeah, we want to sell out. We want to sell that place out. It would be so cool because it's like, I think we're definitely getting close and moving towards that.
It's going to happen. It's definitely going to happen. I don't know how quickly it's going to happen. I hope it's over the next 2 years. Even seeing things like Scottish Rugby advertising for a season pass.
Mm-hmm.
Does the WhatsApp group go a bit crazy? Have you seen this or is that not really coming into your consciousness?
No, it definitely is. Like, it is, it's cool. And I just like anything to make it more accessible. Like, you've paid for your tickets, everything, so then you don't need to worry about that stuff when the games come up. Like, you've got your tickets, you've put it in a diary rather than like back a few years ago, you'd maybe get folk on the gate being like, oh, if I'm still free, I'll go along and watch the game. We want people to put it in their diary and make time to come and watch. So I think, yeah, it's definitely making it more accessible. And no, we are definitely talking about it. And yeah, just want as many folk to buy them as possible.
Hello, all Happiness is Egg Shape listeners and watchers. This is the Happiness Is podcast with me, your host, Bruce Aitchison, brought to you in association with Infinity Blue. They can look after you, whether it is a checkup, teeth whitening, or a more complicated procedure. Give them a call, get in touch, and they will look after you to make sure that you keep that smile intact. Because after all, they know, we know, I know, you know, happiness is egg-shaped. So what, this new competition that's coming up,
mm-hmm.
What becomes the target or the conversation around that? Because obviously when things are new, it's difficult to know how it's going to go. How do you plan for it? It's a positive step, I think. Everybody seems excited by it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to do good to have more competition. But it puts somebody like you in a challenging position because you've got sevens and then there's this 15s tournament coming along. But generally, everybody excited about it?
Yeah, no, I'm absolutely buzzing about it. And yeah, like you say, because it's a new thing, it's hard to sort of know what you kind of want out of it. I think you might know more than me, but that could help us with World Cup qualification.
Yeah.
So I think like that would definitely be a goal of ours, is to get qualified in the easiest route possible for the World Cup, so we're not going through playoff games and stuff like that. That's definitely a goal. And yeah, I think just getting as many people game time at international level as possible. Like, obviously, during Six Nations, we managed to do that pretty well. For instance, new stars coming up. So I think that's definitely another thing that we'll use WXV for. But no, I'm absolutely buzzing to, touch wood, get down to Cape Town and, yeah, be a part of it.
Lots of great coffee shops in Cape Town.
Mm-hmm. Been there a couple of times now. I love that place, actually.
Yeah, your passport's taken a bit of a pounding since you became a rugby player.
It has. I actually need to get a new one, so that's a good reminder.
Well, I've had to look after it once before as well, but that's a story for a whole other time. So WXV, you're playing against countries that are so in your tier. Now, this is another one where people who don't know about the women's game sometimes question who the opposition is, or who, but the strength of women's rugby is not necessarily in the sort of traditional men's strong countries. Obviously, New Zealand and England are still very good. France are still very good. But some of these other countries, how much do you know about rugby in some of the other countries that you're going to be playing against?
To be fair, who do we have? Japan. We've played against Japan a few times. Very good side. Just different style of rugby. Very well drilled. Obviously, Louise Dalglish was over coaching with them. So,
Do you do a lot of analysis on the team, or are you looking after yourself in an environment like that?
I think we'll be in two pools. So I think we'll definitely look at opposition, but I think we focus on ourselves a lot more during Six Nations, and I think that absolutely worked for us. So I think, yeah, you just kind of look at the opposition and get like a sort of like a broad idea of main moves that you maybe need to be aware of and stuff like that. But yeah, I think we'll definitely look at potentially whoever's in our pool of that we've not seen much of before. Like so Samoa, we're obviously a bit familiar with USA. We've played against them.
South Africa, Italy. But like, how excited do you get about it, or is it a job? Because you mentioned before about signing things. Like, are you still? Does it still give the squad a big buzz? Is everybody still sort of really looking forward to it?
Oh, I definitely like cannot believe that this is my job, that somebody pays me to do it. It's still crazy. So no, I'm like so excited to, I guess, play against new people as well and a new competition. Like, hopefully in a few years it'll be like real well established and we were part of that first one. So nah, like absolutely buzzing. Get down to Cape Town and yeah, play against new teams and see what happens.
There's another first for Lisa Thompson. And you're just racking them up, absolutely racking them up. So these competitions are up and running. Hopefully it gets decent viewers. So off the back of that, that makes the Six Nations, you know, more bums on seats, more people paying attention. You said you don't want to sound like an old person, but there are now some young pups coming into this Scotland squad who have had a different journey, put it politely, to the one that you guys have had. You know, I know there are people playing who looked up to you. Helen Nelson, Emma Orr talks about Helen Nelson a lot because she used to be a standoff. How much do you enjoy bringing in the younger ones and sort of getting them international rugby ready?
Oh, it's so cool. Just, I get, like you say, their journey, like it's, there's so many of them going down south at 19, 20, signing for clubs. I think it's just, it's class. And yeah, I absolutely love, like, it just freshens everybody up, doesn't it? Like, they're really good rugby players coming through at that age. And I remember when I came through then, like, I was not ready for international rugby or good enough to play international rugby at that age. So, like, Emma, I remember when she kind of came out of nowhere. Like, we knew she was down at Bigger and stuff and playing, and then, yeah, she was getting capped against Wales. So, yeah, it's just good to see that there is, like, I guess that pathway of them coming through. And Fran McGee as well last year, like, kind of out of nowhere, was playing at Watson's and then, yeah, started against England. So
Everybody's worried that Rona's not there, and then Fran McGee tears it up, and it's exactly. Like, Rona who?
Rona who? Exactly. So
you're under a bit of pressure now. Meryl Smith.
Yeah, absolutely.
the competition must be good for raising the standard.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Like, I was thinking, like, we've got back three competition, back five, like, it's everywhere. Like, back row, like, the whole squad has got so much depth at the minute. So, it's really exciting. And there is going to be a lot of competition, and hopefully everyone can get some game time in WXV. And then, yeah, like, there's plenty of games before World Cup in 2025. So, it's exciting. Hopefully, we can go there with a huge squad that's, like, ready for international rugby.
Speaking of World Cup, and, you know, it was disappointing that COVID was still kind of a thing, but you got to World Cup in New Zealand. That's pretty much like movie comic book stuff. If you're going to play a World Cup, you want to play in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. The history behind how long Scotland hadn't been there. What was that experience like for you?
Yeah, mad. Like you say, like, we've not been there in 12 years as a Scotland women's squad. And yeah, like, rugby mad country, New Zealand. Like, to be down there, it was, it seems like a long time ago, actually.
You've done a lot since then.
We have, actually.
You've done a lot since then.
Yeah, it was so good. And I think, like, kind of starting to look back on it and, like, with fond memories and stuff, it was obviously, like, the results were not what we were after or what we wanted, but we look back at it with fond memories and learnings. Like, nobody in that squad had been at a World Cup, so we can take that, like, forward to 2025. So, you know, that was another fun thing that we did.
And you say fun thing, but, and, you know, people like me only really get a glimpse into what's going on through social media. You as a squad are really engaging on social media. There's lots going on. Most of you are just sharing the same picture of you out for coffee, but it still gives us a bit of an insight. But from what we could see of what was going on in New Zealand, we watched the games. You had people getting up in the middle of the night to watch you play rugby, which is something I'll probably come back to. But as a cultural experience, as a life experience, and you all say how good pals you are, I mean, you must have pinched yourself at times.
Yeah, I think even being at the opening ceremony that we had, like, we 12 teams in the world at World Cup, and we were sitting in a room with, like, the best teams in the world. And yeah, it was definitely a pinch me moment thing, like, sitting there, and there were like, all the different cultural dances and stuff were performed. And yeah, it was huge, like, just to be in a different culture and sort of learn about that culture as well. And they took us along to, let me get this right, help.
The Marae.
Yep, the Marae, for a hangi. So, and, like, the school kids performed a haka literally, like, 5 metres away from us. Like, we were in the same hall as them. And I guess, like, they've grew up like that. And I think it was super cool to just be in and around it and learn about it. It was a, huge honour, I guess, to be in those situations and a real pinch me moment to think we're in the depths in New Zealand at a World Cup with our best pals going to perform at the weekend. So, no, it was cool.
And then the bits we did see, you actually had to face up to the haka.
Mm-hmm. We did.
What
are you laughing for?
Well, I'm just laughing because you don't get to play in New Zealand very often. And then it's right, you're playing them in New Zealand in a World Cup. Go for it. How do you face a haka? Because, you know, Ireland formed a figure eight after Axel Foley died. You know, there's so many different ways to approach how you face it. What was the plan for you?
I think, like, we'd spoke about it before, facing it.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
On sort of how we would, and I think we stood in a line, didn't we, and maybe we walked forward a bit, but we were like, it's like you want to not almost like take it, you want to like be there and fully be immersed in the situation, and but you also need to be respectful of their haka as well. But no, we'd been told, somebody had told us, just lock eyes with somebody. Do not break that stare. Like, have a staring competition with somebody. I don't know who told us this. Unless Rona's made this up, I don't know. Somebody told us that. Lock eyes with somebody and don't lose that staring battle. So we were all like, you want to watch the whole thing. Like, it's like, the hack is cool. Like, that's why you want to go and watch New Zealand. Like, you want to watch it live. We were standing 20 metres away from it, and it was a scary experience. So, no, it was... And then you need to go and play rugby against them. It was mad.
And playing rugby against New Zealand, and obviously they ended up winning it. Are there players that you're looking at there and thinking, wow, or are you, no, that's just the opposition. I've got to chop them down. I want to go around them. I want to go through them. Or is it afterwards you go, wow, she's pretty good?
Yeah, I think it has to be afterwards. Otherwise, you go into that game thinking that you're not as good as them. So, like, before the game, you need to think that they're just your opposite number and you're absolutely just as good as them, because we absolutely are. They are just an unreal group of rugby players, being together, and yeah, like, all of them have played together for a wee bit and stuff like that. So no, I think before the game you're absolutely thinking we're just as good, otherwise what's the point in going up against them, really? But afterwards you are like, yeah, they, fair enough, they are unbelievable rugby players. So no, and I think they perform so well in that pack four as well, so they, yeah, I think they'll do pretty well in that WXV1.
When you go to something like that, you've been to multi-sport events, you were in the Olympics, it was during COVID, were you able to mix? Was there socializing with the opposition? Do you, like, how does it work? You've played New Zealand in New Zealand, or is it all business? We're into recovery, we've got to get to there, they're doing that. Do you get a chance to socialise?
No, there wasn't much socialising in New Zealand, because we'd all, like, everyone kind of finishes at different times as well. So, like, we were obviously finished after our game against New Zealand, last bowl game. So, no, we were just kind of by ourselves. But obviously, in the sevens world, there's everyone finishes Sunday night or whatever it is. At the same time, there's much more socialising in the sevens world.
Yes, there is. And when you were in the one of the hotels, though, I think, when you were in New Zealand, you were with other teams, and there was a bit of a social swap shop, sing-off, talent there show, wasn't there?
There was, you're right. We were up in, I think that was when we were in Whangarei, we were with Japan and Italy in the same hotel. Again, Rona, thinking, fun thing to do, get everyone out in the foyer at the front of the hotel one night, and we'll have like a sing song, we'll perform our cultural sing song. So
out comes the ukulele.
Yeah, out comes the ukulele, out comes the bagpipes, which was good. That was good for us. Italy just kind of went crazy singing some song. Japan sang a lovely, lovely Japanese little song. And then, yeah, Sarah Barrettin had a kazoo. Started playing the kazoo next to Fraser, our GPS sports scientist, with his bagpipes. So they were kazoo, bagpipes, sing off. It was, yeah, no, it was cool to just, I guess, yeah, mingle a wee bit, in that sense, for sure. But And just like here, I guess how other teams kind of get on, like you always get a idea of who's mingling with who and how their team is in those sorts of situations. So, no, they all seemed like proper tight-knit groups as well. The Italians were mad.
Yeah, but like you, so you're away with some of your best mates playing for Scotland in a World Cup, making history, and then the results don't really go the way you predicted, planned, wanted them to. How do you deal with that? Because you had all that amazing experience, but actually you were there for rugby. How do you weigh that thing up? It's a bit like you guys qualified and the men's team didn't. How do you balance that? Are you able to put it down to experience and let's go again? Is there some disappointment with it? Are you able to look back and be realistic? How do you deal with that?
I think it's probably only like now, like starting to think about it, that you can kind of look back and think, yeah, none of us had been to a World Cup. Did that get to us? Maybe. Were we, like, remember, we were at Commie Games as well. So we were at Commie Games and came in when, a few months before we flew, a month or two before we flew. So we'd been at Commie Games. Had we been together long enough? And yeah, like, squad depth, all of that sort of thing. Like, we have improved that so much, and so many players have got time in an international shirt now. So yeah, it's probably only now that we're looking back at those things and thinking about it. But at the time, yeah, it was very much like, we're here and we've lost these games. What is this? Like, how am I supposed to feel about this whole experience? Because we're doing it to win games. We're not there to, yeah, have a fun time. We're there to win games and win for our country, not go on a jolly. So, yeah, I think now it is easier to look back on and think about the better times that we had. But, yeah, and sort of just after it, it was hard to look back and just think, yeah, we've not won a game at a World Cup yet, though. So I think that'll be what we go to 2025 with.
Yeah, and I've got no doubt you will. It's hilarious how you're able to just drop stuff in. So we've not got to the Olympics yet, but I was in Coventry for the Commie Games, and it was another massively positive experience. But because the player pool is so small, you were playing sevens and then, right, now it's time to switch on and go to 15s. The Commie Games is a big deal. And for sevens, it was the biggest deal before the Olympics included it. Are you able to absorb some of the other stuff, or is it all business? We got to perform.
Again, it's like a different mindset, I think, because our sevens program's always been chucked together because the player pool is so small. Like, obviously, we'd played sevens and 15s together. So I think the expectation was slightly different. We very much absorbed everything in that village at the Commie Games. Like, we had the best time, and I think we knew it was then going to go to GB. Like, we had an inkling it was going to go to GB, so we thought, like, this is probably the last time that this squad's going to be together, and Scotland Sevens, as we know it, is going to be together. So, no, we just tried to have the best time and win games. So we had, yeah, there's a class send-off for Ronan and the Wales.
Yeah, it was cool. Now, the thing with Sevens, and I remember hearing this years ago, before women were on the series, and one of the frustrations is you never play at home with sevens. Now, Coventry's not home for you, but it's probably as close as you're going to get in a major sevens tournament. The families were all there as usual, you know, circle around some pints of lager, but they were all there. You know, there were supporters there. You got a full stadium with the sevens atmosphere. The Lionesses are doing what they're doing, and on the day of the finals, they won. Women's sport had never been at such a point. Do you feel that wave?
Yeah, I think definitely, especially when, like you say, the Lionesses stuff they're doing, like, is absolutely where we want to get to. And even like women's football as well, like, just with the World Cup and stuff going on, like, we absolutely feel that wave of, yeah, just women's sport. Like, it's growing so fast. Like, we just want to keep up with it. and keep moving forward with it. But yeah, playing at Coventry in front of like that huge crowd, like you could really feel it, and we're like, we want to do this every weekend. It's class. It's so fun. So no, we just want to keep up with it and keep like getting as many people along as possible.
And the standard's so high. You know, the Olympic sevens in Rio, the standard was so good that people watched that. And I think we're quite surprised because it was so early in the program. All eyes were on the sevens, and it had that amazing feel to it. It looked good. The standard was high. That must be good for recruitment. Are you aware of the standard has to be good? The product has to be good? Or are you I'm trying to be as good as I can be?
I think like definitely aware of it. I think it's, I don't know, in my head, it's a little bit like there's no excuse not to come along to a game because it is a good product. Whereas you could maybe argue a few years ago, it wasn't that great a product. Like 2017, we're winning our first game in 12 years or whatever it was. So we're winning games now, and the product is good. And even the games that we're losing, we could be winning. Like they're close games. It's not like there's huge scorelines out there. So the product is good. And I think we are like absolutely aware of that. But it is, like you say, getting that balance right of not focusing on that too much, because you can't get caught up in it. At the end of the day, it's not our job to sell tickets and stuff. Like, yeah, we want to produce the best product possible so people do buy tickets, but that isn't my job to get it out there. So no, we focus on being the best we possibly can so that the product is as good as possible and folk want to come and watch us and we want to win games.
Yeah, and it is. It's so good. It's such a good day. Hello, all Happiness is Egg Shape listeners and watchers. This is the Happiness Is podcast with me, your host, Bruce Aitchison, brought to you in association with Infinity Blue. They can look after you whether it is a checkup, teeth whitening, or a more complicated procedure. Give them a call, get in touch, and they will look after you to make sure that you keep that smile intact. Because after all, they know, we know, I know, you know, happiness is egg-shaped. So let's rewind all the way back to that Olympic experience, which you've not got anything to compare it to because it's the only Olympics you've been to. So you've been in a non-COVID Olympics. What was the process? You were in a wide training group.
Yeah.
It then gets cut down. How were you told you're on the plane?
How was I told? So yeah, we were in wider training group. There was an initial cut. Then we went to play against Ireland for a weekend. And then, yeah, there was selection. So we got an email actually first. We finished camp on a Thursday or something. We drove back up the road, me and Hannah Smith, to Edinburgh. And I think the email was coming out that night. So they waited until we were home so that we were separate. Got an email. And then, yeah, I seen my name on 13th player. Was crazy.
So you found out you were going to Olympics by email?
Yeah. Everyone did. So the 13 players that were going just got a squad list, essentially, emailed out. And then we had Zoom calls with Scott and Rodders the following day just to kind of chat through stuff. If anybody had any questions.
Speaking to Simon Amor when he was picking the squad for Rio. Mm-hmm. And he told the first two, they did it in alphabetical order. The first two players weren't on the plane. So he was really looking forward to telling Mark Bennett that he was in the squad. So Mark comes in and he went, blah, 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 you've done so well. You've made the squad. And Mark just went, okay. And Simon said he was just like, Mark gave nothing away, just, oh yeah, thanks, and that was it. So maybe email's a better way.
I know, you just don't know how you're gonna react. You like to think that if you're getting selected and somebody's telling you face to face, you'd be buzzing, but then you could be completely shocked. Like, I didn't know how to feel, because 13th is obviously a bit of a weird one. You're like, okay, I'm going, might not play. So Yeah, you have no idea how you're actually going to react in those situations until you're in them.
And, like, to me, so much of what you've done, like, is amazing. And I'm not sure when you're going to realize how amazing it is. You might on your own, and you're just not telling us because that you're a humble person. At some point, I hope you're going to go, actually, that's quite amazing. You're going to the Olympics to play. That wasn't like playing rugby in the Olympics wasn't even a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to the Olympics. So you're an Olympian and you're getting to go to Tokyo. I mean, all those things are amazing. Then it turns out you do get to play.
Mm. Yeah.
And then not only did you get to play, but you've got people like me back home watching it, almost crying as you cross the line to score a try. You scored a try for Team GB in the Olympics at Sevens.
I mean, I'll employ you as a hype man, Bruce. I will.
Well, I'll take it. It was such an incredible thing. Like, people getting a wee bit emotional as I'm talking about this. Like, people that know you just were so happy for that to happen. But we couldn't get close to you because you were in Tokyo and we were all here because you couldn't get... Like, did you feel how special it was? Did it matter that the stadium was empty?
No, I, like, absolutely could feel, I guess, how special it was and how proud everyone was back home. I think, like, when I... Like, when you're in that environment, it's so... You don't normalise it, but because you get so close to it, you think about it. You're like, what if this happens? What if this happens? So the closer you get, you're like, you almost don't want to attach yourself to it too much in case you don't. And then that's almost harder.
Yes, so you protect yourself.
A wee bit, I guess. But no, when we were out there, like, I absolutely felt all the love from back home. It was obviously just so hard to, like, keep in touch with the time difference and stuff. But, no, I absolutely, like, felt love. And when I got back and stuff, it was, yeah, everyone was super proud. So, no, I was, yeah, hugely proud of that achievement, for sure.
I've just been speaking to somebody who has shown me their memorabilia. And they've collected so much, and newspaper cuttings. You probably didn't know what a newspaper is. Right?
Well,
they're collected all this stuff. Like, what have you got? What do you, like, what's in the plastic storage container under the bed? Have you got one for Team GB and one for...
Oh, I've got so many. I was literally, that's why I'm back home as well, just sorting all my stuff out. Yeah, I literally just filled all that container up with shirts. I've got so many shirts. Some from France, swapping with, like, Marine Menage and Gabby Verney because I played with them in Lille, so swapped our Scotland and France shirts. I've got an Italian Seven shirt, I've got GB stuff, Scotland stuff. That was actually the biggest thing, was thinking I've got so many Scotland tops and thinking, yeah, I have done this for a wee while actually. And I've got my participation medal from World Cup. Got a ball, I'm literally staring at it. You are not getting to see because my room's a mess. A ball from Tokyo, got my cap sitting up there, cap from World Cup and my 50th cap, bronze medal from Hong Kong, and obviously our gold medal from Krakow as well. So no, I keep it all, and I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but hopefully when I've got a house, I'll maybe make it in a chair or something.
Yeah, well, I've got one of those just there. Yeah, and I've now moved house. I've not got enough room for all my stuff. So if you're going to have to buy yourself a big-ass house.
Oh. So
another Lisa moment that gets me going. Hong Kong's a special place to me. I'm hoping I'm going to be back there at some point soon. Mm. The Sevens is when Hong Kong just comes alive. And then there you go. You know, you finish third in Hong Kong. To get on the podium at a tournament like that must have made you feel 10 feet tall.
Oh, absolutely. Like, so, so special. I think, yeah, Hong Kong's special to us as well. Like, being there with Scotland trying to qualify to get on the World Series in 2019 and falling short was so hard. Like, we'd been together a few weeks and we're like, no, but we can actually qualify and get in the World Series. Don't know what would have happened if we'd have done that, but don't want to think about what would have happened. But oh yeah, no, so special. And to go back with GB a few years later and come away with a bronze medal in that match was something else. I don't know how many minutes we were in overtime, but no, it was so, so special. And yeah, Hong Kong is a cool place. We were down at the Tens as well before we played. So yeah, it's just, it really does come alive.
So talk me through that. The clock's gone red. Tell me the story. What happened?
Oh, wow.
I know the story and I've watched it 10 million times, but let's hear it from you.
Clock's gone red. I'm on the bench, sitting. I don't even know what was going through my head. I was like, I think we knew we were going to do it. We knew we were going to score. We was like, it's going to be fine. Like, as long as ball's in play, we've got as long as we want. Isla, Norman Bell, absolute hero. She was like, right, we've went open every single time, so they'll go. So literally dummied, ran the length of the pitch. Not the length of the pitch, half pitch. One-handed dive. What is she doing? They go to TMO. She has been rinsed for this forever. She one-handed touch dive. But yeah, like, just absolutely mad. Like, I think we knew we were capable of doing it, and we'd been toe-to-toe with Fiji for so long. So yeah, it was absolutely huge. And yeah, Isla's absolutely class, and just all kind of went nuts and sideline.
Yeah, I love that we're claiming her as a boarder too.
God, aye, she's from Hoyt.
I saw that. And there was another little moment, because you mentioned it there. Scotland had tried, unfortunately fell short. And then there was a moment with one of your pals that I think you've mentioned 3-4 times already in the 50 minutes we've been recording.
I know, can't I get away from her?
I know, but that... And, you know, I've known Rona a long time. That moment just fills everybody up when they see it. Mm-hmm. Rona runs to score a try in the corner in front of the south stand, but she burst before she'd even touched the ball down because of that history. And then there you are to congratulate her. How did that... Was that a moment of freedom? Was that, like, relief? What was that?
Yeah, I think a bit all of that. Like, won our first quarterfinal of the season, and I think just when us three Scots are together, we love it. Yeah, just like winning our first quarterfinal and thinking, right, we've actually got a shot at a medal now, which, yeah, it was so cool. And yeah, Rona scored so many tries on that Hong Kong pitch in 2019 as well. So to score that one, a 5-0 as well. What a boring game of sevens, you'd think, but if you watch it, crazy.
So exciting, and mm-hmm. to score and to just have that little moment that you can look back on a career, however long you play for, and there will be, geez, I scored a try in the Olympics at Tokyo. I remember when Rona scored that. Like, you're gathering up some pretty impressive memories for your book.
Mm-hmm. Good idea, Bruce.
It's going to be an incredible book. It's going to be so good. Would you come up with a good title for it, though?
I can't speak English. I've not got any English qualifications with that. How am I going to write a book?
Well, get Mr. Landles to help you write a book.
Maybe I'll understand that.
So you then look ahead. You know, you've mentioned it a little bit. I hope that we do that. I hope that we do that. We've spoken before in front of different audiences about this kind of thing. You've got your crystal ball. Mm-hmm. What happens in 5 years' time? What does it look like? You know, that takes in a World Cup, that takes in Olympics. What does it look like up in Scotland first for women's rugby?
Next 5 years, women's rugby in Scotland. Like, just hope that the club game's moving forward. I don't know how long that'll take. To get that to a standard that we'd like. I think it's definitely getting there, but yeah, in the next sort of 5-10 years, we'd love the club game in Scotland just to be a place where if you're playing for Scotland in international rugby play, you don't need to move down south to get your club rugby in. Like, absolutely love to live in Edinburgh and be playing for Edinburgh and stuff like that. Like, that would be absolute class. So, no, we'll see what that sort of holds. But for me, like, I don't even think I'm looking past 2025. So, like, hopefully be part of this WXV and other Six Nations and work as hard as I can to get selected for Paris and then get back into a World Cup cycle with Scotland, hopefully. And who knows what will happen with Commie Games with GB, or if we'd go back to Scotland for just that year. Who knows, but we'd absolutely love to. Olympics, World Cup, Commie Games would be unbelievable.
How exciting is that? Just naming those events is mad.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
But so exciting.
So exciting. Like, the next year even looks so exciting. Like, to be able to play for Scotland, hopefully, and be on the World Series with the Sevens as well. Yeah, looks crazy busy, but fun.
Yeah, like, life's all right, eh?
It's not bad.
It's not bad. So, just we're getting close to the end here. I could, as you know, could talk to you for hours. But the game in England, you know, the English World Cup squads, there's a documentary made about them. There's fly on the wall stuff. They've just released their new contracts. There's some pretty impressive players who don't have contracts. The club game in England is taken off. They're becoming personalities, maybe. I don't know, celebrity. You know what I mean? Like, you've all got personalities, but you get what I mean. Yeah, it's a big thing. England are the one to chase, aren't they?
I think so. Like, England and France, New Zealand, like, they've all got slightly different models as well of how they do things. So I think it is just, it's figuring out what works for Scotland and the players that we have in it and the players that are coming through. And I am not qualified enough to do that. So,
Don't say that. if anybody's qualified with the experiences you've had in the last 4 or 5 years, I don't think anybody's as qualified as you.
Yeah, we'd like, yeah, just want to make something work and have as many people getting paid to play rugby. But yeah, no, England and France and like New Zealand and stuff are absolutely leading the way.
The former Scotland international group are, you know, they're mobilised. I know they spoke to you before you went to World Cup. I think as a group, they're at the games. They were at the Italy game. They then had their social event down at Rayburn Place, which I hear was very sociable. You've met the very first Scotland women's international captain, who is as mad as a box of frogs. But there's so much support and love for what's going on. Does that fill you with hope for the future?
Aye, definitely. And they are absolutely leading the way with that. Like, we went along to that social at Rayburn and they were sort of going through a history of, I guess, their timeline, really. And I think it's what they did for us, we're wanting to do for the younger generation as well. So we're like so grateful that they got it all started. And yeah, like, they hosted a World Cup, like, they chucked together a World Cup, which is absolutely mad. I can't even imagine us lot trying to do that. So for them to do that was so cool. And they've done some pretty cool things as well, like being at World Cups. And yeah, them coming in before we went to New Zealand was, I guess, like, just refreshing and telling us what to enjoy and like being aware of certain things and stuff like that. So yeah, no, they're a cool bunch of ladies and they're doing some cool things as well.
But you didn't know that because they didn't have a platform.
No, and they do now in Scottish Thistles. They're getting everybody back together and doing things and coming along at our games and stuff. And it's just, yeah, I guess it's cool to see all those generations together, like, just mingling and stuff. So yeah, it's class.
I'm told the English group are called the Wilted Roses.
What did they call themselves that? The Scottish Thistles called them that.
Well, possibly, but I spoke to one of them recently and they said, oh yeah, we're the Wilted Roses.
Oh, fair enough.
But you've got, there's Donna Kennedy being voted on, I think, to the board at Worcester. And you need that generation to be in decision-making positions, don't you?
Yeah, like just people that have been in it and lived it and breathed it, really. Yeah, absolutely. Like people in there that know what's going on, basically.
Yeah, I like your lot.
We know what's going on.
Wassell will be president of Scottish Rugby, no question.
Wassell for president.
Absolutely no doubt. I've got no doubt. She might actually become the first current player who is also president at the same time.
And the accountant.
Yeah, I'm going to put that one out there. Tomo, amazing to see you. I didn't tell you this bit, but I'm going to hit you up for it anyway. So you need to finish the sentence.
Oh, God.
For you, happiness is...
egg-shaped.
No. Come on, you need to be creative. I was 100% sure you were going to say flat white there.
Oh, sorry. Wait, let me think. Can you cut this bit out or what?
No. My happiness is egg-shaped. Your happiness is...
brunch-shaped.
Brunch. Yeah, with some of your fellow Scotland internationals in outside, what else do we need? You've brunched in a lot of places.
Greenwoods in Edinburgh is really nice.
Ah, okay, there's a wee recommendation. Try it out. You looking for a sponsorship or a discount? Oh, or
I wouldn't say no.
The Lisa Thompson referral to Greenwoods.
Sounds good.
10% discount, you get a 10% kickback. Let me work on that. I'll speak to your agent.
Sweet. Sounds good.
Tomo, great to see you. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce. Been a pleasure as always.
Speak to you soon.
Cheers.
Absolutely class. You just cannot fail but to be inspired by somebody that has done so much and stays so humble. Lisa Thompson, the future is very, very bright. And when you hear what she's got planned over the next couple of years, hopefully we're going to see and hear lots more about her. If you've enjoyed it, you can get it on Apple, Acast and Spotify. You can watch on Facebook and YouTube. Tell your pals, leave a review, and hopefully we'll spread the Happiness Is gospel. My name is Bruce Aitchison from the Happiness Is podcast, and my happiness is egg-shaped. I look forward to seeing you all again very, very soon. Hello all Happiness Is Egg Shape listeners and watchers. This is the Happiness Is podcast with me, your host, Bruce Aitchison, brought to you in association with Infinity Blue. They can look after you whether it is a checkup, teeth whitening, or a more complicated procedure. Give them a call, get in touch, and they will look after you to make sure that you keep that smile intact. Because after all, they know, we know, I know, you know, happiness is egg-shaped.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.